Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Within the vaulted walls of ancient castles, there comes to life the magnificent masterpiece, Knights of the Round Table.
Hey, welcome back into the show. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. The Bulls start their season tomorrow. You can hear the games right here on The Score. If you're watching on NBC Sports Chicago, our buddy Jason Goff is going to be doing pre- and post-game over there. Just found out yesterday Layla Rahimi's going to be doing sidelines. Man, between that and adding KC to the mix, that's a pretty powerful Bulls broadcast that they have going on over there. So my guys are hoop heads, and Tony goes to practice and talks to people. Campy is one of the guys that loves the NBA here. We were going to have Cody Westerlund join us too. Get better, Cody. He couldn't talk. So we don't have Cody on the show. But before I start asking these guys questions about the Bulls, there are some big Bulls news, man.
The biggest.
Some huge Bulls news. They just made a signing that I think is going to, you know, put things over the top this year. DePaul guard, Max Strus, let's go! The star from Romeoville, the high flyer, Max Strus. He had spent weeks with Boston, right? He had a two-way deal with Boston, and now he signs a two-way deal with the Bulls. I don't know if there, you guys said it, if there is a more Garpax player than Max Strus, but I love Max. He's got a great family, and I hope that he sticks with the Bulls because we need as many DePaul NBA players as possible. He will be a great practice player for them for sure. I hope that he gets a chance and that he does damage with his chance.
It's going to be crazy when he's in the rotation.
And let the Strus loose!
And Denzel Valentine isn't. Well, that's going to be weird.
Well, I would argue that he's a better player than Denzel Valentine. But that's just me. All right, so Tony's here, Campy's here. Let's talk about the Bulls first. We'll put the Bulls on first, and then we'll kind of branch out into the NBA. What's got you most excited about this upcoming bowl season? Campy, I'm going to start with you.
What looks like a more logical way to play the game? The fact that they've, at least through the preseason and what seems like training camp as well, stuck with faster pace, you know, just pace and space. Essentially everything Fred Hoiberg said he wanted to do, they're actually doing now, which makes a lot of sense because A, it's more just straight modern NBA. B, it fits their personnel perfectly. So them sticking with that and then in the way they augmented the roster, playing towards that as well, saying this is our style of play. This is what we have. What do we need? And actually filled those needs properly. They're actually filling out a roster and a thought process around a system that makes sense for the modern NBA, which is something that we haven't seen for quite a while.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And it's one of the things I heard this morning from John Paxson. I was listening to Mully and Haw. I was driving around Hyde Park, and I stayed in my car. Now, ordinarily, when John Paxson's on, I don't do that. Like, I'm like, I get it. He's going to do all the stuff, and we were super excited about the season and blah, 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 blah. But I stayed in my car because I was hearing him talking about evolution of offense with the Bulls. Now, I don't know if this is going to be how it actually turns out, but take a listen to Pax talking about what he's seen to speak to Campy's point about the way the offense, he would like to see it change.
Some of it's personnel related. I do believe that. And again, in defense of Jim, when he got the job in December last year, you're just trying to create a culture more than anything, or an environment that shows you're in a leadership position. And so he was trying to reinforce some things early on last year, attacking the rim, getting to the basket, playing downhill. But candidly, our personnel last year with the injuries that we had, we were trying to play with guys that weren't necessarily shooters, that type of thing. The encouraging thing for me when I watched our team in preseason is the quality of the three that we were able to get. You just don't want to be a team that indiscriminately comes up and shoots contested threes. It's through the philosophy of, finding gaps in the defense, penetrating, kicking, and Jim's really emphasized the extra pass to the open shooter. So I think it's the quality of three that you get. And then the guys got to knock them down. And I believe we shot 37% in the preseason. But preseason is always difficult because, and especially in this day and age, you play, most teams now play four or five preseason games. A lot of teams don't play their lineups and combinations, but I think Jim had the right approach in terms of, when we play, we're going to play our units together and we're going to try to find what works. And he's been really good in that regard. So yeah, we have a positive feeling, but it's difficult in this league. We start with 4 out of 5 on the road, 5 out of 7 on the road. We're going to have to be prepared. And as I mentioned on media day, we've got some young guys that need to step up into that area of contributing to wins now. So we'll see where that goes.
I was encouraged to hear Pax talk about that, because when you looked at the Bulls last year, you're like, what are they running? Like they're not running something that is going to be competitive in today's NBA. They just weren't. And whether it was the pushback from Zach LaVine talking about, three-point shooting or whatever, I'm glad that the Bulls analytics department is at least giving the information to the Bulls saying, what we should be doing? We should be taking more threes instead of taking twos. Tony, when you hear Pac say that, what do you take away from it?
What took so long? You had the coach and Fred to do it. You didn't give him the pieces to do it. But now, because you really, really like Boylan personally, now you're starting to do it. It's like, this hasn't been a secret. This isn't some new wave that, it just came upon the NBA, these last couple seasons. No, we've known that three is more than two now. You can shoot a lower percentage from three and still be more efficient than trying to take inefficient, contested long-range twos as an offense. But at least we're here now. At least they have the pieces now to actually do it and look like a professional, modern NBA franchise. And that's my biggest thing going into this year, is they now have the pieces and the philosophy to actually get some respect from the rest of the team, where it's just not going to be we're going up against the Bulls, time to get buckets. They still can get buckets. The defense still needs work, one. But offensively, team's going to have some stuff to worry about, because now, all right, the focus is, all right, Zach LaVine, 37, high 30% three-point shooter, take more of those. Let's see how they defend us now when you're actually a more of a threat, because you're not trying to look for those long-range twos. Now you're taking that high percentage of threes and shooting more of them. So I'm very happy now that the Bulls are at a modern level.
And the thing that we have to keep in mind too, as much optimism as there is around this team right now, think about how low the bar still is. 16 of 30 teams make the playoffs. We would all be ecstatic if the Bulls were average this year. We have to keep that in mind. Now, mind you, they're still one of the youngest teams in the league. Second youngest team in the league. However, we still have to keep that in mind of, yes, it's still this group in the front office. Did they have a really good offseason? I think so. I think a lot of us tend to think so. But we still have to keep that skeptical eye as this thing evolves, as the Bulls hopefully get to the point where we are seeing the improvement this year, and whether they're in the mid-30s or closer to 40 in terms of wins and maybe pushing for that playoff spot, what that means big picture, as well as just the small term of us just wanting an enjoyable product on our TV.
Pax brought up the schedule and the Bulls being on the road. I look at a schedule that lends itself to the Bulls getting off to a good start. I mean, they have the Hornets, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, tough, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Pistons. That says to me that you have a chance to start the season off with a good record and maybe build confidence. Am I crazy?
The schedule is cake almost through the All-Star break. It's so concentrated tough at the end. You wonder if it's the Bulls are hosting the All-Star game. Let's keep that interest up in Chicago and the good feelings about basketball going as long as we can. Because I believe it's before the All-Star break, they have the most amenable schedule for in terms of travel, in terms of opponents. So they definitely got done a solid by the NBA in that regard. So there's no reason, if they want to make the playoffs, they have to be, you know, it obviously depends on what the win totals are going to be, the 6 or 7 seed going into their tough stretch, because
they have to have room to fall back to the 8.
They got to have wiggle room, because it's just not feasible to expect them to stay or rise even more with how tough the end of the year schedule is.
There is a tough stretch, though, in November, because they get the Lakers, the Rockets, and the Bucks, and they get the Bucks twice in November. So November, once we get past the first week of it, gets a little rough, but getting into November, you should have a above 500 record if you're the Bulls.
Yeah, if they are what, 500 or just below 500, there's going to be cause for concern, because this is, like Camby said, it's cake early on. Like, this is, you need to take advantage of the wins. If you have those playoff aspirations, like they say they have, they need to take advantage of these easy ones before the hard ones get here.
Let's take a timeout. I want to talk with you guys about some of the personnel for the Bulls and some of the additions that the Bulls have had. Tony Gill, Rick Camp, we do an NBA roundtable every now and again with the guys. We hear their thoughts on it, and I love hearing them talk buckets. We're going to continue to do so. We're going to talk about the impact that Coby White might be able to have on this team. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think Jim's done a really good job of getting these guys to buy in. We've had a really good, this really started in September. You know, it's not mandatory for players to show up until training camp starts. Jim got complete buy-in from our guys in September to come in, voluntary workouts. And they came in as a group, and so they had a head start on things.
John Paxson talking about his team. We're in the middle of discussing the Bulls as they get ready to open up the season. We've also had a great conversation about the Bears. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're going to give you a break. Tomorrow on the show, Tony, Mitch is going to talk tomorrow, right?
Yes, and the cliche counter will be back.
It'll be back tomorrow. Yes. All right. Well, good. That's something for people to listen to in the 12 o'clock hour tomorrow. If you want to get your football knowledge on tonight, I have got something for you. I've got something for you.
Man, we're so Chicago today.
We're super Chicago today, and the way this show has gone down. Tonight, go out to Tinley Park, okay? Because at the Tinley Pub, Joe Ostrowski is going to be doing his show from 6 to 10. Real talk, Joe Ostrowski does an incredible show. Like, I told him, I said, man, I was listening to your show, and I'd be like, damn, why didn't I think of that? Joe's going to be out in Tinley tonight at the Tinley Pub, and Olin Krutz is going to be with him. So Joe's there from 6 till 10. Olin's going to be there with him from 7 until 8:30. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. It's a Miller Lite Top Draft Show. So make sure that you go see Joe and Olin out at Tinley Pub. Also, the show is only 2 hours, right? So when we were putting together the show, Mitch was like, I'm going to give you 2 hours. but then you need to do a podcast. I was like, okay, great, because 2 hours is not enough time for me to do all the things I want to do. So I have a podcast called LoHo Daily, where I talk about different stuff, geeky stuff, sports stuff that I can't get to. I haven't had a chance to really talk about the Illinois win on Saturday against Wisconsin because all hell broke loose with the Bears and the bull season is getting ready to start. So I got my man Jeremy Warner, who runs a Illini Inquirer, runs it down there in Champaign. He's on the podcast today. So if you're an Illini fan and you're like, where's the coverage on the Illini beating Wisconsin? Whole podcast dedicated to Lovey and the boys getting it done and whether or not they can make it to a bowl on LoHo Daily. It's on the radio.com app. And while I'm selling you on the radio.com app, you should update your radio.com app because now you can run stuff back. You can rewind it like a DVR. It's a pretty cool invention that we're doing. All right. So there's all the content. Wait, there's one more piece of content I need to tell you about. So I also do a podcast that's independent of the score called House of L. And I'm going to drop a new episode tonight with Sahadev Sharma. We talked for like 90 minutes and it's awesome. All right. All right. Now back to the Bulls. You guys, and we're talking to Tony, Campy, they're here every day with the show, but they're my basketball peeps. So I talk basketball with them. You guys seem both excited about Tomas Zadaransky joining this team. Why? If you are excited, are you excited?
If you watch this team and you saw the point guard play that they had last season, you'd be really excited too. Tomas is a professional point guard at the NBA level. He has size. He knows what he's doing with the ball and knows how to get the ball where it needs to get to. And a bonus, he doesn't need the ball 100% of the time to be effective. And that is great for this team because Zach LaVine is going to need the ball. He's going to have stretches where he's in scoring mode and he's going to do some drive and kick things. They have to guard Tomas Zadaransky because he can make that three. Before last year, with Chris Dunn, they didn't have to. They didn't have to bother because Chris Dunn isn't the best three-point shooter. But now that's another added bonus of having him on this team. And it's great because it was a bit of a worry, you know, that first preseason game, his first start with him missing a lob to Zach LaVine and a lot of turnovers that kind of had Bulls fans like, what about this guy? But he eventually got it together, and we've seen since, you know, that first half of the first start that he had in the preseason, he's gotten better. He's gotten more comfortable with his teammates, and that's key for a point guard is comfortability. Where do they like the ball? How do they like the ball to be handled? He's very intricate in those details, and I like that for my point guard. And I'm definitely interested to see how it happens.
Yeah, the Bulls just needed reliable, steady guys. That's what Thad Young is. That's what Tomas Zadaransky is.
But I feel like Zadaransky is maybe a tick more than that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not going to say that he's a star or anything, but I think he's better than just competent NBA player.
Oh, no, he's better than that. I mean steady as in
consistent.
Consistent. You know what you're getting from him. Like Tony mentioned, all the little details. And another big thing that the Bulls need desperately, especially with the news that they're going to limit minutes on Otto Porter and sometimes they're not going to play him on back-to-backs, they need someone that can sometimes guard threes. And if the Bulls, since Denzel Valentine's out of the rotation.
Hutch is hurt.
Who are the wings on this team? Who is anybody that could kind of play the three? There are probably times where you're going to see three guard lineups where you have Zadaransky, LaVine, and Coby White. And at that point, you would assume that it'd be Zadaransky that'd be guarding the three because he's the biggest dude of any of them. Being like 6'7", he's just, a guy that can make an open shot, doesn't need the ball, just knows exactly where to be. And especially when you've looked at the Bulls the last few years and other teams that are perpetually bad, like the Suns that I always think of, they lack those kind of veterans that just know how to play their role. They know how to be part of the game. And that sounds like a demeaning term, but it's really not because he does it at a pretty good level.
Let's talk defense for a second. What's the likelihood that the Bulls will be a better defensive team this year?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, a lot of it is based on the health of Wendell Carter, which is obviously a It's a big if. That's my guy. Like, Wendell's my guy of anybody on this team. If he's healthy, I guarantee the Bulls will be a better defense. If Wendell Carter plays 65 games, the Bulls will be a better defense. Because of his presence at the rim, because of his ability to be able to recover come from the weak side, Thad Young is a very good defender. When those two are your bigs, that's going to be a real solid defensive lineup. And Satoransky he's solid defensive. He's not anything special. But considering how many guys the Bulls have that are really iffy defensively, especially like LaVine, Markkanen as well.
Don't let LaVine hear that.
Hey, it's still true. He's still got to prove that. It's going to be, it's not going to be good, but if they could get to not the bottom of the league, closer to like 18, 19, something like that, that'd be a real solid improvement for them.
We've all been kind of sitting here waiting for Markkanen to reach that next point in his development. From two guys that watch hoops as much as you guys do, what does that mean to you? What are we not seeing from Markkanen that we need to see as a flashpoint in his development?
I actually mentioned that in my piece today on 670score.com. Go check it out. The interesting things that I find for this season, go look that up. The most important out of the group that I mentioned is, what is Lauri Markkanen going to be? The third year is kind of we make the third year the clear picture of who is this guy going to be in the NBA level. And something that we haven't seen yet from Lauri, if he's going to take that star leap, is we haven't seen him be aggressive in terms of, hey, I need the ball. I'm going to lead us to this win right now. He's had great stretches since he's been a Bull. Like last season, what was it? Can't be like the February is his month.
Yeah.
February is Lauri Markkanen's month ever since he's been in the league, where he goes on this 22 and 15 level. But that's not consistent. And that's due to, one, injuries. He needs to stay healthy this year. But also just his inconsistent kind of play, where he's allowing things to happen in the offense and he's not speaking up, or he's not saying, hey, I need this ball right here, right now. I have the mismatch. He needs to be a tad more aggressive in terms of that mentality. I'm not 100% sure that he knows that the more he gets involved in the offense, the better this team is going to be for the short-term and long-term success of this franchise. They're building him up as a core piece for this franchise. And if he doesn't accept that role, it's going to be a problem for the future. So I'm very, very interested to see if he's ready to make that leap amongst his peers on that team.
Yeah, I think him and Wendell are really interesting because they're the opposite of each other. Wendell is pretty good at basically everything, but he's not great at any one thing. Markkanen has one skill that should be great, but even if you look at his shooting numbers, they dipped a little bit. So Markkanen needs to shoot the ball more consistently. So in terms of attempts, in terms of percentage, he also needs to play make a little bit more. Because if every time you actually get the ball, if it's rare that you're getting it and you're just going to put it up, teams are going to guard you as such. And also just anything defensively. He regressed significantly defensively. So rebound, and that could be, I consider rebounding part of defense because it ends the possession for the other team. Even if you're not a great true defender on your guy, but you're at least more capable when in rebounding, that'll make a big difference, especially if the Bulls want to play minutes with him at center. Because we've seen those in the preseason. We saw it a little bit last year. When Markkanen's at center, the lane is open.
Yep.
It is right there for you. You can get to the rim. You can have a nice move. It's like the layup line. So he needs to be just a little bit more competent defensively and a lot better rebounding the ball.
All right, so last question for you guys. What's something that the Bulls fan that's in their car or eating lunch right now doesn't know about this team that you think they should know?
Luke Kornet can hoop a little bit. He's not the most athletic dude, that you're going to see, but he's really smart. He knows where to be defensively on his rotations. I mean, guys aren't afraid of Luke Kornet by any means, you know, at the rim, but he knows to be there when he needs to be there. And offensively, he can stretch the floor, being a seven-footer. He also can make the right pass, and that is key when you have driving kicks to that middle of the lane there for the big man. And I think that's something that, you know, Wendell can also do well. But I think Luke Kornet may be a little bit better at this point in his career at the, you know, making the proper pass in the middle of the floor. Like, he knows where everybody's supposed to be. He's a very high IQ basketball player, and I think fans are going to really like seeing him.
I think I mentioned it before, but it's so big to me. The big red flag with this team still, what's going to happen on the wing? Keep an eye on the rotations. How much is Otto Porter playing? Who's playing with who when Otto Porter is out of the game? That's going to be one of the biggest challenges for Jim Boylan. Outside of rotating his bigs, which is more of a good problem, are they going to have to play Thad Young at the three? That's not that great.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Banking on Satoransky playing a lot of minutes at the three instead of maybe just switching onto someone at the three for a possession or two, that's not great either. So the Bulls need to make some. They need to do something to kind of fudge those backup wing minutes, and that's going to be fascinating and something that you should be keeping an eye on, because if there's one thing without injury that can drag this team down a little bit, it can be getting torched by wings.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you for the hard work as it pertains to the Bulls. We will have the Bulls game 5:30 pre tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Because 6 o'clock game, they're out east. So,
and also home opener, me and her hosting from 5 to 6:45 live from the United Center.
Shut the front door.
Yep, first hosting gig. Mitch may regret it. I don't know, but we're there. We're in there.
Man, I like that. It's gonna be some fiery takes coming from at least one and probably both of the people hosting that show. This segment is being sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. Losing weight, eating the food you love. Now save $50. Plus, get a week of protein packed shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see the website for details. When we come back, I want to get back on the Bears for just a little bit. We need to take a time out. You're listening to The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats host Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And shout out to the people over at the Sportsbook at Ameristar East Chicago. They've got all the action, real-time odds, and the best prop bets. Plus, with fast 24-hour betting kiosks, there's no waiting. So grab the crew and come to the new Sportsbook at Ameristar East Chicago. You must be 21 to learn more. See the My Choice Center. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. It's been a rough couple days for Bears fans. You're trying to reconcile what the 2019 Bears are all about. And I know that it's hard to divorce what you're seeing now from what you saw last year. And you're sitting there going, well, wait, how does a 12-4 team turn into a team that feels uncomfortable watching now? And part of it is some of the stuff that we talked about earlier in the show, where familiarity breeds contempt. You're seeing teams go, we know what the Bears want to do now, and we're taking away those things that the Bears want to do. What I'm still looking for and still holding out hope for is that Matt Nagy is smart enough to understand that there has been a real understanding of what he wants to do. How does he then go about pushing back and adapting? we've seen Matt Nagy being extremely creative in play calling, getting guys open. I still think that there's still some of that in the Bears offense now where guys are getting schemed open. And some of the limitations of the quarterback make it difficult to see that as being a positive right now. What I'm looking for, what I'm begging for from the Bears head coach this week is adaptation. But for him to adapt, it means that he has to look in the mirror long and hard and say, what we're doing isn't working. How can I then go about making it better? I need to adapt. Because if you don't, this league will eat you up. You're seeing what it's doing to the quarterback. The quarterback hasn't improved. And because the quarterback hasn't improved, he becomes easy to defend. You can drop 7, you can drop 8. You can show him zone looks, and then you could show him mug looks in the A-gap, and then when you blitz him, he doesn't know what to do. They've got to understand and be truthful. They got to be brutally honest with where things stand now and say, look, there's still some good parts and good pieces to this team. And if their approach is to play it as a team that wants to go to the playoffs, I endorse that because you're still only 6 games into a season, and I think that's still enough time to save it. But the only way you can save it is by adapting. And that adaptation will not happen unless they are honest with what they actually are right now and not what they hope to be. I'll talk McNeil and Parkins about that and other things next here on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.